This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You and I have unfinished business.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Get away from her, you...
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
At the movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Uwe Paganampike Pagan alongside Ian McNally. We've both just seen a movie called Muse. If you Google it, there are far too many movies called Muse. This one, however, came out in December of 2017. It's a Spanish production by Jaume Balagueró, and it was released early December, and I think the global release is kind of like between now and February.
Right.
And it's a Spanish film, but in English, that's primarily set in Ireland.
And judging by the number of in conjunction with production credits at the beginning, I think saying it's Spanish is a bit...
Oh, that's true.
It's limiting it a bit. I think
it seems like it was funded by everyone.
Yeah, they went on a road trip and picked up money everywhere.
They did. Also, set primarily in Ireland, and I know this because I was sitting next to Ian throughout the screening, who had approving grunts throughout. I know that place.
Well, it wasn't like they were suddenly jumping from one part of Dublin to another, although he was walking the wrong way in Trinity College twice.
But it looks better.
Yeah,
it simply does.
I'm going to spot these
better.
Things. It's my alma mater. So
this is a supernatural thriller. It's not a horror movie.
Yeah,
it didn't really have that many jump scares. It was kind of this really slow-paced, deliberate film about muses. I mean, it stars Elliot Cohen, Franca Potente, Joanne Whaley, Christopher Lloyd's in it.
Yeah.
It's based on a Spanish novel called The Lady Number 13 by Jose Carlos Somoza.
Oh, so there's another six for the sequel, is there?
Apparently. Yeah. And then, of course, the director is the same guy who did Sleep Tight and Rec. He directed three of the four Rec movies, but was actively involved in developing all of them, right? Mm. It's also his return to English language filmmaking after his thriller The Darkness, which kind of bombed in the US box office because they kind of released a heavily edited PG-13 movie.
Gotcha.
Yeah. This is a weird movie.
Yeah. I mean, the concept is very Neil Gaiman or Clive Barker-ish almost. Like this idea of that the seven female muses who are... They tend to give and take at the same time. And poetry... What's the line? Poetry can do incredible things.
It's like magic.
Yeah.
And of course, these seven muses were the inspiration for everyone. Milton, Dante, Keats.
Shakespeare. But also, while they inspire, they also inflict and destroy. That's where I got the Clive Barker Hellraiser things. It was that kind of thing of we'll tear your soul apart, but you'll get something out of it.
Correct. I mean, the muses are depicted as something truly vicious and evil.
Yeah.
And if you want that kind of inspiration, then there is a price to pay.
Yeah.
Elliot Cowan's character essentially is a professor and a poet in himself. His girlfriend kills herself within the first 3 minutes of the movie.
And then it goes to like a Netflix-style opening credits. Do you know
it does.
It was very Netflix-y. It's almost Daredevil or something.
And he finds himself kind of caught up in this situation because he has these...
Premonitions
and weird dreams, right, of the death of a woman, which he then enthusiastically investigates, and it leads him down a dark path.
Literally down a dark path into a cellar.
Pretty much. Where he finds an aquarium. Now, I think that the concept is something I could really get behind. If I was reading a Clive Barker novel or a Neil Gaiman book, I think I'd be down with it.
The fact that the seven of them kind of plays into the whole death destruction thing from Neil Gaiman, Sandman.
Exactly.
And it's that kind of tale of like, I think the Furies and the Sandman were this kind of thing. It's this kind of otherworldly supernatural creatures that if you make deals with them will benefit you, but you make one thing wrong and they tantalizing have all the elements there. You know, there's a white ring. There's discussions of the rules, but we never really get the rules.
There are hundreds of rules.
Yes, which is unfortunate because you need to be...
need seven.
If you need to be if you want to go a classic horror movie, it's got to be like The Ring. You know, you watch the videotape, 7 days later you die. Those are the rules.
It's simple. People can get behind it.
Yeah.
In this one, there are... There are interesting twists and turns mm-hmm. that I honestly didn't see coming. And I think the execution is where this suffers, because the performances were a bit meh. It felt like the actors were kind of phoning it in.
Mm.
And I didn't feel any sense of real dread on the part of the actors. I mean, when
you
I watch it...
You mean from Irish Jason Clarke and Discount Famke Janssen?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. Because I'm watching this, and when I watch a good horror movie, I want to see fear in the eyes of the actors playing that part.
Yeah.
And I think the best horror films, I mean, even in the Insidious films, it feels like they're genuinely scared.
Yeah.
In this one, Elliot Cowan just kind of ambles through the movie.
Ah, well, you know, he's just an Irish fella just getting on with it, you know?
I'm just driving from place to place.
In his Saab, because all
professor poets
have to drive Saabs.
Yes, I saw that and
that
I was like...
old Saab,
and it's like,
it's
like a brownish-green Saab as well.
Yeah.
Yes. So
the muses themselves, they're literally just like older Irish women. Like, I mean, older Irish women, you know, Irish mammies can be terrifying. But in this case...
You would know.
Yeah, but these ladies, I mean, it's the stereotype. But these ladies are like, there's nothing supernatural, very little supernatural about them. So you're kind of like, what's going on here? You know what I mean? There's no, you're not afraid of them the moment you see them. You're afraid of what they can do, which doesn't instill the right kind of fear and dread that you want.
Which is kind of hinted at.
Mm.
And it's never necessarily shown. And I think that's where... the problem lies when we see the first muse, and it's already like 45 minutes into the film before you see the first muse. And when you see the first muse, and she's this little girl, and you see her in the trailer as
creepy.
Well, she's creepy, she's kind of scary, but the execution of it and her first appearance doesn't inspire any dread. I'm not shocked. I'm not really afraid. She's just kind of there speaking in a very manly voice.
And you're kind of wondering as well, like, your supernatural demonic presences, they don't generally give very specific directions to a town just outside Dublin. Like, I mean, she was almost...
Oh, no, very specific.
She was almost at the point of saying, like, take the M4 and take a left at the roundabout outside Kinnegad or something. You know what I mean? It was
midnight,
very weird.
Make your way to Joy Hill.
Yeah.
Come alone. Sounded like a mafia movie more than anything else.
But then when they follow through on that thread, there's, like, a human familiar guy with an umbrella. I was like, are we going to have a whole world? Like, there's these tantalizing hints, and it just doesn't follow through them. There's also a big problem in watching this movie in Malaysia with...
it's cut to ribbons.
It's cut to ribbons at the end because it does have a prolonged sequence, action sequence, it seems, that features a naked lady. A very naked lady.
Yes.
And there's no way to cut around it, apparently, because it's just like, it jumps a bit. And that, by that point...
I mean, you know what's going on.
Yeah.
But it
but
just defeats the purpose.
It's the emotional climax of the movie. You're not getting to see what's happening. There was a nice little bit of a twist before that, which I thought was quite nice.
We stepped out of the cinema and you just went, now you know what Dublin looks like in winter.
Yeah.
It felt like they shot everything over a week period in December.
Yeah.
It was rainy, it was miserable, it's gloomy, and it kind of works in this movie. However, it still felt a little drab and flat for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think if they'd cut maybe 25 minutes out of it, it might have rattled along at a better pace.
And it's not a long movie, it's
no,
an
it
hour 40 minutes,
yeah,
but
it felt long.
Really long.
I'm like, okay, I have a rough idea of what's going on now, when are you going to move? Like, I was looking at my watch thinking... You haven't even... This is third act time. We should be getting to the climax and we're not... We haven't even gone back to Christopher Lloyd yet, which we know we need to do because we've just seen him with something that we need later.
And he's Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah. And there's also I had a big problem with the reveal of a certain character, the one who somethings. I couldn't hear... Like, the muses are divided up into the one who punishes...
Inspires, the one who punishes, yeah. The one who lies.
And it's like, one, there's a reveal of who one is. I couldn't hear what she said. Yeah. So I don't know which one she was. She whispered it, right?
Yeah, this is not a movie that has much going for it. I mean, it's not a movie you'd watch in the cinema to begin with, at least not in Malaysia anyway, because it's cut to ribbons. But also, it's the kind of movie that you may catch on a Saturday afternoon. If you see it on Netflix or something like that and you've got nothing else to do, you may put it on because you need to kill an hour and 40 minutes.
It's a bad sign when I jumped two or three times during one of the trailers before the movie and I didn't get any kind of shocks or scares during the movie.
I don't know what this movie was supposed to be. I'm not sure if John Balaguero knew what this movie was supposed to be. I think Rec was a pretty scary film. I remember watching the first one and I thought it was pretty good. I haven't seen 2, 3 or 4, so I don't know if they held up.
Yeah.
But he's a very competent director and he knows what he's doing. This one just felt a little flat.
Yep.
Yeah. Muse is now open in cinemas. It's a supernatural thriller.
Thing,
I suppose, is the best way you can describe it. Let us know if you do check it out. I'm on at Umar Pagan.
I'm on at McNasty Prime.
You're listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.